Hello, this is The Way Phase 4, and I'm your host, Steve Lascalzer. This podcast is dedicated to my fandom of Marvel Studios and everything happening in Phase 4 on Disney+. Today's discussion topic is the very first episode of Loki, available for streaming as of June 9th, 2021. If you're listening close to that date, you'll notice that episodes are available for the show on Wednesdays instead of Fridays. In this podcast, we talk about what we saw in Loki, but everything Marvel Studios has released up to this point is fair game. Sometimes, our speculations about the possible future of plot points reaches TVA levels of accuracy. If you're the kind of person that would feel the show's ruined because you want to keep the sanctity of that sacred timeline surprise, this might not be the time to listen to a podcast about the show. You have been warned.
This is actually your last chance.
Want to be part of the podcast and have your voice heard? Well, put your thoughts in writing. Send it to us at one of a few different places. Our email address is thisisthewayphase4@gmail.com. You can contact us on Twitter at thewayphase4 or facebook.com/thewayphase4.
I am Loki of Asgard, and I am burdened with glorious purpose.
Now for a little bit about the episode. Episode 1 is titled Glorious Purpose. The full description on Disney Plus for the episode, if you click on it, says, after picking up the Tesseract in Avengers Endgame, Loki finds himself called before the Time Variance Authority, TVA, a Kafkaesque bureaucratic organization that exists outside of time and space. Now, Kafkaesque, if you're wondering what that means, it means Franz Kafka, well, he worked in an insurance office in Prague in the 1800s. This is in real life. And he also wrote stories. So many of his stories had to do with circumstances involving bureaucratic red tape or absurd rules, never-ending piles of paperwork, waiting in line for eternity, power struggles that went back and forth forever, something like the Greek myth of Sisyphus, where someone had to push a boulder up a hill forever. Except Kafka was writing about a more modern idea at the time of bureaucracy and the workplace. So it was like modern myths. When you see how the TVA operates in episode one, you'll find that Kafkaesque is indeed an appropriate descriptor. There's something very Big Brother-esque to it as well. And then there's a brief description as well as the full description. After stealing the Tesseract in Avengers Endgame, Loki lands before the Time Variance Authority. So in the long version, it says after picking up the Tesseract, and then the brief description just points out that he stole the Tesseract in Avengers Endgame. So the director for episode one, and I believe all of them, is Kate Herron, and she does a great job in this episode. Writing credits go to Michael Waldron, who's also listed as the creator, showrunner, and Tom Kaufman, and those two worked together on Rick and Morty, and there is something very Rick and Morty, if you're familiar with that show, about Loki as well. It's not exactly like it or much like it as well, but the theme, there's definitely a common theme there, and Michael Waldron is also going to be the guy who gets the credit for writing Doctor Strange 2, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. So he's already said in an interview, I think, that he may have been able to tie the movies together. And I think with the people that he's working with writing the episodes for Loki, there's going to be a lot of Easter eggs, I think, at least between those two movies, but maybe throughout Phase 4. And we'll talk about the implications of this show in a little bit. All right, Loki starts out where we might expect. 2012 New York, Avengers Tower. It's a version of the scene from Avengers Endgame. We see the scene play out. Hulk smashes through the wall, knocks the Tesseract out of the briefcase. Loki picks it up and disappears. Thor calls out, "Where's Loki?" And then we get the Marvel Studios title card sequence, and it's a green and gold motif, kind of like the armor that he's wearing when he picks up the stone, his Avengers armor, or the movie armor, and then that's for the lettering. And then instead of the Marvel theme that I've become used to in WandaVision and Falcon and the Winter Soldier, there's a strange space sci-fi-like theme, and I really like it. Great job by Natalie Holt. After the title card, he falls from a portal in the sky, and then like a comet or meteor, He plunges into the Gobi Desert. So he's still on Earth. The space stone took him somewhere else on Earth. And then the similarity to him hitting the dirt, and then pieces are scattered throughout the sand a little bit. And then also the Tony Stark scene from Iron Man 1, the first Iron Man, where he escaped the Ten Rings camp and plunged in with his Iron Man 1.0 armor on and took off his mask. I mean, those kinds of nods are the kinds of things that tie Marvel together that I find really enjoyable. I mean, I really liked how he took off his little face guard, just like Iron Man took off his face mask. The mouth guard that Thor had put on him, you know, he takes it off in almost the same way. It's a really nice nod. So it's not long, though, before Loki is surrounded by Mongolian nomads, and he tries to intimidate them with the start of a speech, but they don't speak English. Then also, some dimension doors open, soldiers step out, and Hunter B-15 comes out. That's how she's listed in the credits. She identifies him as a variant. So there's Hunters, and then there's, I guess, Minutemen is who she's flanked by. He's placed under arrest by the TVA for crimes against the sacred timeline. Now think about this for a second. Maybe you've just cracked the code to time travel, and on your first experimental journey, you're suddenly surrounded by people calling themselves the Time Variance Authority, and they place you under arrest. You either go with them, or maybe they kill you on the spot. So what are you going to do? Are you going to resist? If you don't resist, you're almost going to be immediately placed in front of a judge without any representation. And from their point of view, you're causing a major violation to the order of the cosmos, but you have no idea. You've never even heard of this group. Maybe you're like Loki and you glance back to the reset charge and you see the world start to disintegrate from that charge. Maybe you start to wonder if that happens to your loved ones, but you don't really have time to wonder if this was supposed to happen because you left your timeline. Now you're never going back with what you know and what you've seen. So you're dead or missing to everyone in the sacred timeline, right? I guess. Or maybe that's the alternate timeline. What's strange to me, though, here is that Loki used the Space Infinity Stone. So he didn't even use the Time Stone, right? He simply escaped his fate by using the Space Stone to go somewhere else. Now, you don't even need to figure out time travel, I guess. You know, maybe it just requires one of the Infinity Stones, or maybe it doesn't at all. Now, Tony Stark didn't actually need one to figure out time travel, right, in Avengers Endgame. So he didn't, you know, use a time stone in that way, but they were using time stones all over the place. Now, to violate the sacred timeline, maybe that's accidental. But still, you're going with a shady, never-before-heard-from police or military organization that's threatening you for non-compliance. Loki doesn't submit in this scene. He is still subdued. He gets hit by a time dilation baton, and then he gets a collar put on him, and he's taken into custody, into a dimension door back into the TVA. There's a reception desk there with a space stone still, and the Tesseract is going to be logged into evidence. Before it is, Loki tries to run, but Hunter B-15 shows off what we later learn is the time twister, and it's activated with the collar on his neck. It rewinds Loki, brings him back to Hunter B-15's side every time he tries to run. So there's no escape for Loki like this. No removing the collar yet. The receptionist, Casey, isn't impressed by the Tesseract either for reasons that we're going to find out later. Meanwhile, Loki continues his empty threats, and it would seem that he's shoved into what you would assume is an elevator, but it's something different. It's kind of like a delousing room for a prison. He's disrobed by an insect-like TV screen-faced robot, disrobed by laser. And I think we kind of saw that in a trailer. And again, put yourself into this absurdity. The only thing suppressing your fear might be the quickness and efficiency which you're being herded through these different gates. He's then dropped through the floor, and another scene that may have appeared in the trailers appears where the archivist asks him to sign to verify everything he's ever said. So it's either sign it and read it all, or sign it and don't read it, which is much worse than the fine print on your eye device. And in the room there's a cat, and it's on his mug. And I think it's actually not a cat. I think this is a Flerken. the creature from Captain Marvel that looks like a cat, but then scratches Nick Fury's eye, and that's why he has to wear the eye patch. So it's possible that this Flerken is actually the protector of the archivist, since he's in that room all alone, but for the cat or Flerken, and you know the picture on the mug. So Loki signs the paperwork, and then he's dropped through the floor yet again. And this time he's faced with an existential question. Is he aware if he's a robot or not? So he ends up passing through. The guy says something about, you know, what'll happen if I walk through and I'm a robot? And he says, then it'll melt you from the inside out. Just come on, move on through. So his temporal aura is recorded in like a Polaroid. And it's kind of like Monica Rambeau. It's not a very clear picture. It's kind of a very washed out picture, but there's some red in it. So Monica Rambeau in WandaVision, when she had an x-ray and they were all whited out. So maybe that was her temporal aura. And, we can't really be certain, I guess. Loki's ushered into a rope line then toward a booth, and he's urged to take a ticket. A man also in the line refuses and goes forward, but Loki luckily grabs one of those tickets, and then Loki finally gets a moment to think.
This is a mistake. I shouldn't be here.
Hi there. You're probably saying, this is a mistake. I shouldn't even be here.
Miss Minutes catches everyone up. The Time Variance Authority was established to right the wrongs and keep only one timeline, or keep a sacred timeline, to prevent great wars between alternate timelines. And it looks like it might be multiple timelines part of the sacred timeline, but they're all working, you know, together in parallel. So this does a couple of things. It explains to us and to Loki how time works. It also reveals what we're led to believe is a neutral party, whereas once we only had good and evil, you know, now there's an entity who judges who is right and who is wrong, even if that neutral party itself is flawed. It tells us about the timekeepers or the time lords or whoever they are, the three creators of the time, or the keepers of the time, sacred timeline. It's at least the mythology that Marvel wants us to believe at this point, because let's face it, if this TVA is a government-like authority, their narrative isn't necessarily always the truth. The end of the video even says it's produced by the TVA's narrative commission. So this may have Easter eggs for future Marvel movies. One of the easiest to see might be the use of the word multiverse, since Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness is going to come in Phase 4. There was also a mention of Nexus, and that was one of the commercials in WandaVision. So the video is very descriptive, but it's also humorous in that it's kind of like a film strip that kids may have seen in school in the 60s, 70s, or 80s. And then when the video finishes, we hear the man from earlier without a ticket being told to present a ticket, and he tries lying and shifting blame. But as a sign we can see on the wall points out, the TVA has zero tolerance. The man, in the credits listed as Martin, is disintegrated. According to the TVA, he shouldn't exist, right? It's just a matter of when you get disintegrated. Either resisting arrest or in front of a judge. Yes, there is a chance by cooperating you might end up free. I guess a chance. But according to them, you don't belong. You may not even have a timeline anymore, since leaving your own or branching off from that sacred timeline meant the TVA had to clip that branch. And I think it's disintegrate the entire universe. I think people are missing here that the reset charges are eliminating that other timeline. Not resetting it, they are eliminating that timeline, I believe. I just wonder how these charges never got used, either in the void where the TVA operates or accidentally somewhere in the main sacred timeline. If those did, what would stop the TVA from just claiming that a new timeline should be formed and that they keep on going with an altered timeline and then clip those branches? So if that's possible, why the insistence in the first place? Well, maybe that's what was supposed to happen all along, and that leads, you know, maybe some credence to the possibility that there are multiple sacred timelines all going in the same direction, and we need to preserve those, because every time you eliminate one of those by accident or on purpose, it may weaken the chance of the entire timeline being, you know, disturbed. Loki, though, panicked finds his ticket, raises it up high, and we get treated to a Loki title card and the theme. Again, great job by Natalie Holt.
Thanks for visiting the TVA. Don't hesitate to let us know how we're doing.
After the title screen, we head to mid-16th century France, and we start to get details of the series plot. Remember, the 16th century, that's 1501 to about 1600, I think, and the TVA is in a French church in 1549, so there aren't just time cops and time detectives and time hunters, there's also time agents, I guess. We see Owen Wilson as Mobius, and it turns out TVA were murdered, and the time reset charge was stolen before it was set off. Mobius interviews the sole witness. The credits call this kid French boy. When asked who did the killing, the French child points to a stained glass window of the devil. And it's probably not Mephisto. It's probably just a similarity between the horns of the devil and Loki. At least in his Avengers uniform, he's got those horns. Smiling, Mobius notices blue teeth on the child, and the child shows him a pack of gum that the devil offered. Kablooey is the brand name of the gum, but it's clearly anachronistic, and it's not from Earth. It's not clear what triggered the TVA to come to this branch of reality. Was it the gift of the gum? Couldn't aliens just have delivered it? But I think it has to be that the gum wasn't just from a different place in space, but a different place in time. When the TVA came to arrest the individual, they were ambushed. And Kablooey, by the way, is also... Kablooey is what happened when an explosion happens, right? Kablooey! Mobius tender with the child. When it comes down to it, the TVA is going to erase this time branch. Okay? There are no innocents, according to them. Before the agents and Mobius leave, someone comes from the TVA to give Mobius a file on Loki. And he's quite interested. And there's some cool things there if you freeze frame the file and read what's on it. But I think everybody's done that, and, you know, there's nothing I'm going to tell you that you couldn't see just by freeze-framing.
Now that your actions have left you without a place on the timeline, you must stand trial for your offenses.
The scene shifts now to the courtroom, and the judge listed in the credits as Ravana Renslayer asks how he pleads. It says arraignment, but it's more than that, right? Loki tries sweet-talking his way out of his situation, even throwing the Avengers under the bus, and we hear... that he did figure out that it was the Avengers pulling at time heist because he must have smelled the two Tony Stark's body sprays, right? So he put it together that they were messing with time. To his chagrin, though, the court considers what they were doing as supposed to happen, and he was not supposed to escape. He also tries using his magic in the courtroom, and they kind of giggle at him, laughing. They're like, he's trying to use magic, and he's told, you know, it doesn't work here in the TVA. Then his arraignment turns right into a sentencing, skipping trial. He is going to be reset, but Mobius stands up from the audience, approaches the judge. It's not specifically stated, but we get what is implied. Mobius wants to question or use Loki to help him with his open case. We don't yet know, at this point, who he thinks is responsible, and we don't know why he knows Loki well enough at this point that he thinks he might be useful.
What's going on?
Hang on. Everyone quiet.
He's trying to use his powers, ma'am.
Don't rush me.
All right, so Mobius leads Loki to a time theater for some questioning. There's some great dialogue between Hiddleston and Wilson. We get to hear a little more about the TVA, how vast it is. Loki looks at the outside and he likens it all to magic. Loki says the place is actually kind of a nightmare. Mobius says that's another department, but is it really? Is there really a department of nightmares? Who knows? They head into an actual elevator now, and Mobius introduces himself. Loki calls out the ridiculousness of the TVA and their leaders, the time lizards he calls them. Mobius wants to find out if Loki likes violence and causing pain. So, you know, is this variant a psychopath? He already knows he's not, and that he's from a timeline that he takes a heroic turn in, right? So this is all taking place, though, before... that actually happens in the sacred timeline. So Mobius has to speed things up by showing him some footage of his life and asking the right questions. Mobius has to get him to be a hero without Avengers, without his brother, his mother, his father, his sister, and fast. Mobius shows that Loki thought he was sending Dark Elves to attack his brother, but that he mistakenly sent them to his mother, whom they kill. So there are some great telling lines in here. Oh, also, Loki, we find out, was D.B. Cooper, an infamous plane hijacker, I think in the 50s or 60s. He was a robber, or maybe in the 70s. It was all part of a lost bet to Thor, though, and it's just kind of a throwaway in there. Loki calls this whole thing, the TVA's whole operation, an illusion, and says it's all designed to intimidate and cause fear, and it's a method of hiding insecurity. Now, there's a lot of layers to that. When I saw him calling the TVA out, I actually realized immediately, as I'm sure many others did, that he was actually talking about himself.
I know what this place is. What is it? It's an illusion. It's a cruel, elaborate trick conjured by the weak to inspire fear, a desperate attempt at control. Now you all parade about as if you're the divine arbiters of power in the universe.
We are.
You're not. My choices are my own.
And so great writing to be able to hint at that, but also make it part of the plot, because Mobius has to lead him down that path. At one point, Loki disputes having no choice. Mobius challenges that, saying that it's not just supposed to happen. He says it's supposed to happen again and again and again. So this must be why they have footage of what is, quote-unquote, supposed to happen, right? Again and again. You know, does this mean the universe repeats itself, or that those multiverses actually exist in different periods of time? Are they intertwined and all going exactly the same? Are they, you know, spaced differently apart? Or are they so close that there isn't any kind of divergence? I think, based on the cartoon drawings and the Miss Minutes video, that it's more like the latter. I get the impression that what they're trying to do is keep everything parallel. Why? I don't know. As backups? Each time they reset, are they making the branch stronger, or are they instead making the whole thing weaker? The trunk. You know, I hope that gets explored. Then Hunter B-15 interrupts the interrogation. Loki takes the opportunity to do what he does best. He escapes. He finds a receptionist or evidence clerk and tries threatening him, but the poor desk jockey named Casey doesn't see him as a threat. In fact, he shows him not only the Tesseract in his little drawer, but several Infinity Stones, ostensibly from reset timelines, and none of them work in the TVA. Loki suddenly has a realization that the TVA is truly powerful, and I'm left wondering, will this Loki petition to work at the TVA when all is said and done, the god of mischief and chaos working now for order? Or will he try instead to rule it all? Or does he actually become the one who remains at the end of all time, creating the space lizards, as he calls them, to assure that he's the last one standing at the end of time? That does seem like kind of the thing that Loki would end up doing, you know, making it to the end of time and saying, hey, I have to do something to set it up so that I'm always the last one standing. Well, the TVA catches up to him, but he uses the time twister and gets back into the theater, watches more of his life. He sees Odin pass, he sees Thor embracing him as his true brother. He sees himself standing next to Thor and Valkyrie in battle, trusted by his brother, so he sees that he is now a hero. He doesn't see his sister, or, you know, fighting his sister. He then comes across his final moments. So now, he's seen his death. He can't ever go back, right? I know they say that later in the episode, but actually having seen himself cause his mother's death was enough. Anything that hadn't happened yet would be impossible for him to ignore, either trying to avoid it or make it happen, right? Loki is disturbed by his death, though, which we don't see again. We do see Thor mourning him, and then his life tape runs out, kind of like it was cut by Atropo, the Greek goddess who cuts the thread of life. It says ETH-616 on it. So I guess this is the Earth 616 version of Loki. But he's variant L1130. Why don't they match? Why isn't he L616? Or why isn't this Earth 1130? I don't understand. You know, and I don't think they really have an answer for that. Hunter B-15 finds him in the theater. She tries to subdue him, but he manages to get the time twister off the desk, unlock his collar, place it on her, and then he tortures her just for a little bit. He gets a little payback, I think, for the time-dilating baton strike that we saw during his arrest. And then there's a scene where two bureaucrats with sashes are walking with the receptionist, and Hunter B-15 appears after Loki had finished with her. So it's like he makes her disappear in the throne room, and then we see a little bit of the scene with the guys walking down the hallway, and then she appears. It makes me wonder, though, who are those guys? Are these bureaucrats literally just walking red tape? You know, the sashes are red, so are they literally walking red tape? I don't know. It seems like they're their bosses of Casey, right? Well, Mobius then finds Loki in the theater, back where he was, and at first he's not sure if Loki's a threat. But then he discovers that Loki did realize he is the one using the illusion to inspire fear, like his speech from earlier about the TVA. It's then that Mobius decides, yes, I can bring him in on the case, and we all learn that the variant being hunted for killing TVA agents is a variant of Loki.
I beg your pardon?
The scene then shifts to 1858 Salina, or Salina, Oklahoma. Not Kansas, Oklahoma. And the TVA arrives because there's a third millennium quantum ore shovel or something. I can't make out what the artifact is scanned as, or who the manufacturer is, or even the year it comes from, but one of the TVA just kind of says, you know, this is anachronistic. Hunter U-92, though, wonders if someone got a time machine and then tried to strike oil in the past to make himself or herself rich. And I'm left with questions here. So, do no other TVA Minutemen or Hunters, and they all have numbers in the credit. There's 1 through 5 and then an 18 are listed in the credits. Do they all know that some of them are being killed, or do they not know? And when they report, why do they hold the person responsible, bring them to the TVA, hold a farcical trial? But even before that, they reset the timeline, either setting a charge that destroys the universe created or just resets it. I think it's that they destroy the universe. So why don't they just destroy or reset the person inside it? The TVA agent in charge says there will be too much paperwork. Set the charge and let's go. So why don't they just do that, if that's possible? Why did he listen when his subordinate says, wait, there's someone here? Why not just go? Do they have to apprehend the, you know, the person in question? Do they have to question them? Why not just eliminate the universe and the offender along with it? A second ago, he was willing to deviate from the norm because of paperwork, so why not just do that now? Set the charge and go. Well, this Loki variant ends up lighting the ground and the oil on fire, trapping and killing the TVA that are there in 1858 Oklahoma. But I think, based on the trailers, that maybe one guard's going to be taken hostage, and certainly we see the time charge stolen before it was activated.
What's so funny?
Glorious purpose.
Next up is the credit sequence, and there's so many things going on. YouTubers like Screen Crush and New Rockstars, they were very quick to analyze it all. So if anything I found would sound like I was copying them, right? Even though I don't watch the videos they put out until I'm done with my own podcast, if I found anything, you might just think, well, somebody already pointed that out. Now, these are the things that I noticed, and I'll just tell you what I noticed, not that, you know, they have any importance. I noticed a balance sheet. So there's all about time, but then there was also a balance sheet where they had, like, money in it, like a checking balance sheet. Schrodinger's equation was posted on the wall. There were instructions on how to make a Mobius strip. There was an apocalyptic event report, a Mind Stone paperweight. There was a So You're a Variant pamphlet with the different head shapes. And I kind of, it brought me back to Beetlejuice, the handbook for the recently deceased. I don't think that's related, but I just thought that was funny. A Wake magazine. It's WAKE magazine, and it says free poster inside. And there was a time twister and Mobius's phone and then one of those batons. And then the title card again. And so there's a lot more in there. And if you freeze framed it and found something, a great Easter egg, more power to you. But those are just the things that I noticed. And going back over it, I wanted to take note of. But I'm not sure how those things tie in to the show or to other Marvel properties. I was going to make a mention about the rest number was like 72089 or something. And I looked it up on the internet, and I couldn't find anything important. So stuff like that, I just let go. You know, if I don't know what it is or how it's connected before I track it down through other means, then I just let it go. But the show has tons of potential. And more than WandaVision or The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, this seems to be much more important to the future of Phase 4. Great job, again, by Natalie Holt on the scoring and the theme music. It's a little spooky, very catchy, sets a real nice tone and mood. It's something kind of Stranger Things about the music, you know, which is not at all a bad thing for me. She's a number of credits already, but the only one I recognized myself was she composed for Nightfall, the TV show on Netflix, I think, because that show had Mark Hamill in it, so of course I'm going to remember that. And again, a great job on writing. I think it's a really good, it's really hard to balance the sci-fi-ness and then the entertainment value, and I think for a first episode, it definitely made me say, is it Wednesday yet? Well, what do you think? Email us. This is thewayphase4 at gmail.com. Interact on Twitter at thewayphase4 or on facebook.com/thewayphase4. Episode 2 is going to air June 16th. That is also a Wednesday, but remember, there are only 6 episodes total, so it's going to go fast. They don't release any episodes on Friday as far as I know. This has been This is the Way Phase 4's discussion of Season 1, Episode 1 of Loki. I'm Steve Lascalzo. Until next time, friends.
Thanks for visiting the TVA. Don't hesitate to let us know how we're doing.